We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Doug LaMaurice now with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Doug, when I saw this article at Cleveland.com about, you know, voting for the Big Ten, I was stunned that Michigan got more votes than Ohio State. I was so stunned, and I know Urban's gone, but the Ohio State domination has been so strong, it stunned me. Were you as stunned?
Really?
As you're not stunned?
I'm not obviously. Stunned.
Okay, how come?
No, new coach, new quarterback, four offensive line starters gone, top three receivers or three of the top receivers gone. And the defense is mostly back, but with new defensive coaches, but a defense that gave up at least 30 points in four of the final five regular season games. So the offense carried them last year, and much of that offense is gone, and the defense was a problem, and much of that is back. And I just think you can't snap your fingers and assume that you can replace a Hall of Fame coach immediately. I think Ryan Day is going to be good. Do I think Ryan Day in year one is going to be as good as Urban Meyer? I don't. And so that's why I think there's some room for the rest of the Big Ten to, at least in the perception race, catch up right now. And I was not surprised by the vote.
By the way, why did the Big Ten stop doing this poll? That's kind of weird, isn't it?
They don't want to hurt feelings. I mean, like, it's 9 years now. I can't believe it. It's like they went, everybody else does a stinking poll. And, like, in the Big Ten, where we'll expand from coast to coast, in the name of making money, and we'll have a TV network, and we'll do all this other stuff, but we can't hurt anybody's feelings by having an official vote that says Rutgers is going to finish last. So it's like, I said, we're okay. We'll hurt people's feelings. We don't care. So we'll do the poll.
Good. I'm glad you do it. It's an excellent poll. Obviously, it takes some work to get in contact with all these writers around the country, but you did. Let's say this. If Harbaugh does not beat Ohio State and Urban Meyer's not there, year one of Ryan Day, like, are they going to run Harbaugh out of town? It seems crazy to think that could happen because he's such a great coach, but hasn't had success against Ohio State. If he doesn't win this year, what happens to Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, I was just having that conversation with somebody else. He succeeded in so many ways, right, from where they were. The double-digit wins, I think, 3 to 4 years, but he hasn't won the big game. But I think part of the answer really is if Harbaugh – if he can't beat Ohio State, if he can't win Big Ten titles, can anybody? Or does it just mean that in this world where almost every bit of the college football power has shifted to the South with the recruiting, with the demographics of the country, with the money, if the power's in the South and maybe Ohio State is the one outlier, maybe Ohio State's the only team that can truly compete with these Southern powers, and a team like Michigan just can't do it. I think maybe it wouldn't mean that Jim Harbaugh is the wrong guy. Maybe it would mean that Michigan is just not at that level anymore. I don't know.
It's fascinating. When it comes to recruiting, are the standards in terms of academics for Ohio State and Michigan, Doug, are they the same? Is Michigan harder? I don't know.
No, I'm not an expert on that, but yeah. I do know that that Ohio State's academic standards are pretty high. Michigan's are also high, but I would say that Ohio State is still in a place where not every single academic profile of every single athlete would be able to maybe be part of the football program. So I wouldn't say if the question is like, is that a reason for maybe why Michigan can't beat Ohio State? I don't think that's part of it.
Doug LaMaurice is with us from Cleveland.com. Doug, you bring up the point about, you know, the new head coach, new quarterback, all these guys to replace that have moved on, graduated, or left early for the NFL. Let's start with the quarterback. Justin Fields transfers in from Georgia, and by all accounts, this kid is an absolute stud. But what if something happens to him? What if he doesn't pan out? What if he gets injured? Are the Buckeyes screwed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, no offense to anybody, but yeah, I mean, like yeah. for now, for this yeah. year, I mean,
for this
like,
year,
the my trepidation about Ohio State is about a healthy Justin Fields. I'm sorry, I'm still on my plane, and the announcer's coming on. is just about Justin Fields being young, and Justin Fields being inexperienced, and Justin Fields as the starter having some bumps that I think would be a very natural thing. And not every single young quarterback in the world is going to be Trevor Lawrence and win a national title his first year as a starter, even though we've seen guys do it. We've seen guys succeed right away. I still don't think you can assume it. But if something would happen to Justin Fields, then we're just talking about a whole other world because they would just have to hand the ball to J.K. Dobbins 40 times a game. And I'm not sure that their defense is at a level right now where they could win with defense.
Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com with us, getting ready for the start of the Big Ten season. It is... you know, fascinating because you go from Jim Tressel, a legendary coach, and then you had the 1 year of Luke Fickle, which was kind of a mess, and then you go to another legendary coach, Urban Meyer. This is the first time since Tressel was hired that you're starting with a new coach, which you expect it to be long-term, and you're not sure what to expect. So what do you expect, Doug, as the year, forget just this year, as the years go by, what do you expect? How good a coach do you think he's going to be?
I think he can be really good. I think he's smart. I think he relates to people. I think he is in this trend of offensive minds that we're seeing in the NFL and in college football. I think he's innovative. We haven't really seen him. The thing you don't know about is what happens when a kid gets in trouble off the field or what happens when he might have to bench a guy because he's not playing well or what happened. You know, like we haven't really seen him pushed to the edge when things go poorly in a game or in the middle of a week. And so, you know, I think he's going to be good, but so many times in life, guys, not just in football coaching or in sports, but in life, you look back and you say the first year you did something, boy, I didn't know anything. Now that I've been doing this 5 years, I look back at what I did in year one and I realize all the mistakes I made. And coaches say that stuff all the time. We just don't talk about it in the moment very much. I just think Ryan Day is going to make mistakes in year one because he's never been a full-time head coach before, and that's sure. Okay. I think he'll be good in year two and year three and year eight and year 10, but I think Ohio State might take half a step back this year because they're going from a Hall of Famer to a guy who's only ever been a head coach for 3 games but never really run a program.
Doug, what do we expect this offense to look like? I mean, how much different will it be from what we saw with Urban to now with Ryan Day, who – by all accounts, got the job because of his offense?
Yeah, I think he's really smart about it. I mean, I've talked to him. He's one of these guys, these coaches that just is doodling plays all the time. He's constantly thinking about this stuff. I am not an X and O breakdown expert, but the way he explained it to me that I think sounds really smart is he wants to run NFL-style plays within the college spread system. He wants to spread teams out formationally. He wants to have personnel mismatches. And then he wants to run sophisticated routes and sophisticated plays that you see in the NFL. And so I think that there's a really high end for this offense, but I think it's going to take some time for Justin Fields to learn it. So the one thing is they'll use Justin Fields' legs a million times more than they use Dwayne Haskins. We'll see a lot more of the zone read, the quarterback as a run threat, just because that's Justin Fields' skill set. I think we'll see J.K. Dobbins as a lead back. They won't be rotating backs. I think that'll be better for J.K. So I think it can be an offense with a high top end. I think Garrett Wilson, as a true freshman, is going to make an impact at receiver. But I think there's going to be bumps. I think there's going to be times when they struggle for a quarter. I think there's going to be times when they have turnovers just because with a young quarterback who hasn't been in this system very long. Plus, Ryan Day is going to be trying to be a head coach and a play caller at the same time, which isn't easy. I think it will look great at times, and I think it will have trouble at times, which may cause them to maybe lose a game or two that you don't expect.
Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com. The Big Ten Media Day is coming up tomorrow, Chicago. Doug getting off a plane, joining us. Article today, Cleveland.com, Michigan named Big Ten football favorite in the Cleveland.com preseason poll. You admit that you voted for Rutgers to come in fifth. Doug, Rutgers.
In.
Quarterback.
In
now,
on
right?
Rutgers. In on Rutgers. I can't name a single player on Rutgers. I don't know. Do the McCourty twins still play there? I don't know. They get to play Illinois. They'll beat Illinois, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I like Chris Ash. He's a good fella. I don't know. Someone's got to finish fifth.
Hey, listen, you get everybody. It's easy to put Rutgers seventh, right? You got to shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
That makes sense. Yeah. But seriously, though, the West seems very jumbled, right? From Nebraska, Iowa, in terms of the voting, like Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, and even Northwestern, it seems like any of those four teams could end up in any order.
Well, and I think, and I was just reading one of the national guys that I respect today who said that, you know, there's a lot of people on the Nebraska bandwagon. He thinks the actual smart Big Ten dark horse in the West is
totally
Minnesota.
Agree. Oh, I like Nebraska, but I
pick Nebraska. I like Nebraska, but I mean, I think you could pick anybody other than Illinois who got every single last place vote for the second straight year.
Yeah.
You could make a case for anybody in there. And I think part of that reason is because with the Big Ten Network money, they have some good coaches out West, better than they used to. The West did not used to be Jeff Brohm, Scott Frost. Paul Christ is really good.
Yeah.
You know, P.J. Fleck was one of the hottest names in the country a couple years ago. They have some guys out there. Pat Fitzgerald could coach any team in the country, NFL or college. They have some guys leading programs out there that are making the West more competitive. And I've asked a lot of questions and written a lot of stories since the East-West split about how I felt like the West is inferior to the East. And we've seen the four East powers. I think it looks like the West is catching up a little bit, and I think that's good for the league, but it also, for instance, makes these crossover games for Ohio State much tougher. That's the thing. When you look at Ohio State, are you sure they're going to beat Wisconsin and Northwestern and Nebraska? That's like three good teams. There's not gimmies there. So I think both divisions are pretty strong.
It kind of feels like the Big Ten is kind of like baseball right now, right? Like the Big Ten East is the American League. There's a few really good teams, and then the worst teams outside of Illinois are all in the East, whereas the West is just kind of everybody's kind of a little above the middle.
Yeah, I mean, and it's Ohio State throws everything off. And that's, I think everything we're talking about goes back to the same thing, which is Urban Meyer is gone, and every other program, the other 13 programs in the Big Ten, should feel like they have an opening. Because as long as Urban Meyer was at Ohio State, you figured he was going to do what he did for 7 years, which is dominate this league. Yes, we think Ryan Day is going to be good, but if you're Scott Frost or Jeff Brohm or Jim Harbaugh or James Franklin or Mark D'Antonio, you think you have a shot that maybe you didn't have before. So all these discussions are arising because people think there's an opening without Urban Meyer there.
Yeah.
People forget about Michigan State too. Mark D'Antonio is one of the most, you know, underrated great all-time coaches, and he has obviously had success against Michigan. And I keep forgetting his quarterback Lewerke's back again this season. Any chance they could surprise in the East?
No, I think they could absolutely. I picked them to finish pretty high in the East. It's hard with them. Sometimes they can look really bad in a given week, right? I mean, you can watch them and they can set offense back 25 years. But they always have a tough defense. And when they have experience, they can run the ball. Lewerke was hurt last year and their quarterback situation was a mess. But we know what good Michigan State looks like. And so they're never going to be as 100% consistent year to year. But when they have their guys, D'Antonio gave Urban Meyer as much trouble as any coach in college football. So I do think this could be one of those years again where even if Michigan State's not competing at the top of the East, they're going to win a game or two that throws off the race.
Hmm. Doug, let's wrap it up with this. I know in this column you have all the different championship game predictions. The most common was Michigan over Nebraska, tied with Michigan over Iowa. What did you have? And what do you think is going to be the Big Ten final?
So I actually have not revealed that
yet. Oh, you want to?
But only because I love you guys.
We appreciate that.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And you can take the calls ripping me as soon as I hang up. my championship game was Nebraska over Michigan.
Wow.
I just thought it was a little too – the idea of Jim Harbaugh finally beating Ohio State, having a team – that looks like it's on the verge of the playoff, and then like the next week losing the Big Ten championship game to Nebraska seemed very possible.
Yeah,
in
I can
my
see
head.
It. I think so, it's the second boldest prediction. The only one more bold was the guy, whoever I'm saying guy, I don't know if it's a guy or not, the person who picked Northwestern over Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, a year ago nobody in our poll picked Northwestern to win the West, and they won the West by three games.
Yeah.
So we're wrong all the time. And really, in the end, every year this poll and any preseason prediction about the Big Ten is a referendum on Ohio State. How good do you think Ohio State is? And almost every year we've done it, people have thought Ohio State is good enough to win the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just one of the people who believes that there's an opening. Michigan has a veteran quarterback. I think they've proven, even though they lost, they got a lot of guys on defense, I think they have talent on defense that they can bring up through the pipeline. I like their receivers. I think Ed Warner's a good offensive line coach. I just think Ohio State's going to take a half step back, lose a game or two here or there that they haven't lost before. But I also think, like, Ohio State's going to be really good in 2020. But I just don't think in year one with Ryan Day and in year one with Justin Fields, I don't think they're going to be a national title contender. And I don't think that any Ohio State fan should take that as an insult. It's just that Urban Meyer only lost 9 games in 7 years.
Doug, here's a question that you would have laughed at me for asking for most of the last decade, but I think I can ask it now, and I think it's a good question. Who wins more regular season games this year, Ohio State or the Browns?
Yeah, I mean, right? I mean, it's great timing for football fans that listen to your station and read Cleveland.com, because maybe right when Ohio State's going to be maybe slightly less dominant, the Browns are going to be really good. So for the first time, this makes me want to look this up now.
Yeah.
When's the last time the Browns won more games than Ohio State? But I would, as someone who is predicting since December that the Browns are going 12-4, I would take the Browns.
Yeah. I had 11-5. I think Dustin had 10-6, but there you go. It's going to be a fun season. We'll see you at training camp, right?
Yeah, I'll be there a lot.
We'll see you there. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Thanks, Doug.
Doug, good work, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, Doug LeMaurice.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.